Okay, Chizkuni, Parsha Shmini. The Parsha begins with the first pasuk of Hebayom HaShmini. It was the eighth day of the Miluim. Kara Moshe la'Aron. Moshe calls Aaron, Banav, and Ziknei Yisrael. So the Chizkuni explains what each one's, what he was calling each one for. That Aaron, we know Aaron's going to do the Avoda. Banav, he says, is Lachancham Bekona. Give them chinuch and kuna. And Ziknei Yisrael. Ziknei Yisrael is because there always needs to be Jews standing on the carbon whenever you bring a carbon, if it's on behalf of the Jewish people, so there needs to be, like we used to have ma'amados, there always needs to be a contingent of Yisraelim who are standing there, who are there to daven that the carbon should be accepted. So that was the purpose of the Ziknei Yisrael. It's an interesting discussion, not connected to this at all, whether it had to be Yisrael. Can Kohanim act? The Kohanim are also Yisraelim. If they're not doing the Avodah, can they be there to daven that the carbon get accepted just like any other Yisrael or not? That's an interesting discussion, which is not clear at all. But anyway, these Ziknei Yisrael, they were there to be the ma'amados. They were there to be the ones to daven that the carbon should be accepted. Okay, then Hashem tells Moshe, Moshe tells Aaron, and he says, take an egel as a chatas for you, and an ayal for an ola, and Bnei Yisrael should take Seir Izim for a chatas, and an egel and a keves for an ola, plus a bunch of other stuff. Okay, so the Chizkuni explains that the egel ben bakr lechatas, he explains it similarly to Rashi, that it was a kapara on the Chet Egel, because Aaron had some hand in it, so he needed a kapara on the Chet Egel. Plus, the Chizkuni says, which the Rashi does not say, that a Kohen, when he sins, like a Kohen Mashiach, so he brings a par lachatas. So this is similar, it's an Egel lachatas, it's the same animal, it's a cow. And the Seir Izim that the Bnei Yisrael have to bring, the Chizkuni says, is a kapara on the Chet of Mechiras Yosef, because they shechted the Seir Izim and dipped his blood in it. So the Seir Izim is number one, a kapara for Chet of Mechiras Yosef, but it's also a kapara on Avodah Zarah. There are times where Seirim are brought as a carbon for Avodah Zarah, like by Parhelm Dabar Shel Tiber, they have Seir Izim brought as a kapara for Avodah Zarah. Anyway, so sometimes Seirim can be a kapara for Avodah Zarah. So you had both ideas. One is for Avodah Zarah. He doesn't mention this, but obviously there's two aspects to that. The Avodah Zarah has been Adam Lamakam. The Seir of Yosef was Ben Adam Lachavero. And both, by the way, the Mashiach Chachma mentions both. Those are the quintessential sins of Ben Adam Lachavero and Ben Adam Lamakam. The quintessential sin of Ben Adam Lamakam is Chet Egel, and the quintessential sin of Ben Adam Lachavero is Mechiras Yosef. Anyway, it's supposed to be for both. And Aaron brings his carbon first, and then the one for Bnei Yisrael, because there's always a concept, the Chizkun explains, of Yavo Zakai v'yechaper al Chayav, or Yavo Tahar v'yechaper al Tamei, and that kind of thing, that you want the Tahar, the person first to become Tahar themselves, and then let them be Mechaper on others. Put on your mask first, whatever. You're supposed to be Tahar yourself, and then be Mechaper on others. Have that when you, again, the Chizkuni doesn't mention this, I'm just throwing in extra credit here. Really, we have this concept when you wash Netil Sidayim in the morning. You wash your right hand first, and then you take your right hand and wash the left hand. It's always supposed to be in that way, and you keep going back, forth, back, forth, back, forth in the morning when you wake up. That's the idea. It's always you want the Zakai to be Mechaper on the not Zakai first, wherever you can. Anyway. That was just his explanation of that, because the pasuk says, "Karev v'lamizbech v'chaper ba'adcha v'ada'am." That's the reason for the order. Fine. Okay. Later on, Moshe and Aaron go up. They offer their carbon. They go in to daven that the carbon should be accepted. And then it says, "V'yirik v'od Hashem." Rashi says that the Shechina was shara, and an ash came out, and was yirik min hashamayim. So that's again, that's Pasuk Chav Gimel and Chav Dalid. Moshe and Aaron came to Olamoed, Vayivarch Hazam, Vayirik Vod Hashem Melech Kolam. They went into Davin, that everything should be accepted, and the Shechina should be shara, and the fire should come down. And it was, that's the next Pasuk, Vatei Te'esh Melefne Hashem, a fire came in Hashemayim. That was the one that stayed forever, or for, you know, a very long time. That was the one that always ate the karbanos on the Mizbeach for a very long time. It stayed, I think the Gemara says it stayed till Cheskuni quotes, it stayed till the Beis Olam, until the Beis HaMikdash was built, and then it came again in the time of Shlomo, and it stayed around till Menashe's time. So this fire that came down from Shemayim was a historic time. Okay. Then we have the story of Nadav and Avihu. So we know Nadav and Avihu were killed because they did something. They brought an Ezara Sherlut Tziva Osam. So the Cheskuni, there's different, you know, explanations of what Nadav and Avihu did wrong in the Chazal. Cheskuni is going with the one that they were Mor Halacha Bifnei Rabbam, which fits nicely in the pasuk because it says, "Be'akir Lifnei Hashem Ish Zara Sherlut Tziva Osam." So the Mor Halacha Bifnei Rabbam was that even though this fire, like we just said, came down min Hashemayim, there's a mitzvah lahavi min ahedyot. You're supposed to also have a human fire also there. So that's what they were Mor Halacha Bifnei Rabbam. So that's they brought an Eish Zara Asher Lo Tivo Osam. That's the Mor Halacha Bifnei Rabbam, that they brought a fire that they had not been told to bring. So they should have asked Moshe first, similar to how Yeshaya should have asked Yirmiyah before, not allowing Paro Necho to go through his land. Anyway, that's Mor Halacha Bifnei Rabbam. But, of course, that pshat assumes that they were right, meaning Nadav and Avihu were correct. The problem was that they were Mor Halacha Bifnei Rabbam. That's one pshat. Second pshat he brings is that they were wrong. They were not supposed to bring that day a fire. They weren't, even though it's true, we certainly hold that there is a mitzvah lahavi min hedyut. You're supposed to also have fire min hedyut as well. But, the Cheskuni says, the second pshat is that they were wrong. And it was an Eish Zara, meaning it wasn't supposed to be brought at all, because that day, the first day they were going to use the Mishkan, that was supposed to be a day of Kulo Nisim, when it was supposed to be only Min HaShemayim. For the covet of the day, or the Shechina, or whatever, the opening day was supposed to be only Min HaShemayim. So them bringing an Eish was a negative. They weren't supposed to bring it that day. So their sin was that they were Memayit Kvoda Shechina in that way, and that's why they died. Okay, so those are the two pshatim he brings. And he says, we have this concept by Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. Right? Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel insisted on putting water everywhere and making sure, right, it was a fire only min Hashem to make the big scene, make the big Kiddush Hashem. That was the idea here. It was supposed to be a big Kiddush Hashem, and the fire was only supposed to come from Hashem. The fact that they brought a fire too, so then that was the problem. Okay, then it says, so they die, and the Eish came, the way the Chizkuni explains it, is the Eish came from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then it went into Nadav and Avihu, and they died. And from there, it went to the Ola and burnt the Ola. And then it says, so they died, and it says, the Pasuk says, Hu asher diber Hashem lemor, bikrovaya kadesh. This is what Hashem had said at some point, that with my holy ones I will become kadosh. Where did he say it before? So Rashi says, he said it when he said, Benvadati shamla lebnei somi nikdash bechodi. That was back in Shmot. And that was in Tetzaveh, generally talking about that the Mikdash will be Nikdash Bichvodi, that the Shechina will be Shara there. But it also means that there would be Nikdash with the Nadav and Avihu. That's Rashi's explanation. The Cheskuni says, actually, another pshat is that it may refer to a totally different pasuk, and this is fascinating, in Yisro, where at Kabbalah Sar Sinai it said, "Begam Hakohen," you know, no one was supposed to go out up to the mountain. Al Yerusu, El Hashem Liros from the Falmi Men Arav, Begam Hakohenim Hanigashim El Hashem Iskadoshu, and also the Kohenim should be Iskadoshu. So it refers to that, meaning what? That Hashem wanted to be Niskadish with the Kohanim Gedolim that are being Misharis Hashem, being Mekadish with them. And this gets into what he's talking about. It's not just Aaron HaKohen, his sons that have remained, Elazar and Isamar, they get treated like Kohanim Gedolim right now, right? A regular Kohen is allowed to be Misabel on his relatives, just the Kohen Gadol can't. But here, they get treated like Kohanim Gedolim. So it's not just Aaron, but it's also his sons that remain. They're not allowed to be in Avelis. They can't rip their clothes and grow their hair and all that. And other people have to be Matam and the Mesim and to take their brothers out. But it's not just Aaron, even his sons become like Kohanim Gedolim for that. What's interesting is on that on Pasuk Zayin, right? They get told Rashechem al Tifro, and it says Mipesach Moed Lo Seitzu. They have a din koyin gadol, and the Medrash says on that. From here, we learn that Kohanim are not Metamil Mesim. So the Chizkuni says, what do you mean from here? We know Kohanim in general are not Metamil Mesim. And Kohanim are Metame to Mesim that are their Krovim. So what do you mean, Mikan Shein Kohanim Metamil Mesim? So he says this halacha that what we learn from the story of Nadav and Avihu is that on the day that a Kohen, because the question is again about the sons of Aaron. Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, we get. Well, why could his sons, Eleazar and Isamar, not bring out Nadav and Avihu? It's their brother. They could be Metam and Mesa. Why do they have to not grow their clothes, not be an Avelus? So he says, we learn from this story that even a regular Kohen, on the day he becomes a Kohen, Biyom Mishichasan, on the day they become a Kohen, they have a din of a Kohen Gadol. For these dinim, it doesn't mean he's the Kohen Gadol. He's not the Kohen Gadol, but they have the din of a Kohen Gadol for these dinim that they can't be an avelos that day. The day of their Mashiach, they can't be an avelos. They get treated like a Kohen Gadol, which is a fascinating idea to me. Anyway, that's how he interprets this Chazal here. Okay, then we have the next story of them burning the Seir Shal Rosh Chodesh. So Moshe wants to know why they did that, right? There was this, the three Seirim. There was the Seir of Rosh Chodesh, the Seir of the Nasi, and the Seir of Shmini Lemeim. So they, two of them were just for that day, and the Seir Rosh Chodesh was a regular carbon. So they burnt it. So Moshe wanted to know why they didn't eat it, why they burn it. So Moshe, as we know, Moshe asked Eleazar and Isamar so as not to confront his brother directly out of respect, but his brother responded. So Moshe asked them, did something happen to this carbon? Did it become tummy or something? Did you? And they said no. And they said, did you not eat it because you're an avelus and an onin is not allowed to bring carbon? And Aaron responded, no, they're regular kohanim and they can't bring a carbon when they're an onein, but I'm a Kohen Gadol, and I'm the one who brought it, says Aaron. I brought the Seir Shal Rosh Chodesh, and I can bring a carbon when I'm an onein. So that's not the issue. Rather, the issue was, it was that it's Kadshe Doros, and you don't eat a carbon that you bring Be'aninos the Doros, so therefore I didn't bring this one. I burnt it. The other two carbonos they ate, but they didn't burn, but they burnt this, the one of Rosh Chodesh. That's the back and forth. So Chizkuni asks, we just got through saying 20 seconds ago that Eleazar and Isamar did have a din of a Kohen Gadol. It was their Yom Mishichasan, so they had a din of a Kohen Gadol. So what do you mean Moshe asked them, hey, maybe you didn't bring it because you're an Onan and an Onan can't bring a carbon? And Aaron had to say, well, I'm the Kohen Gadol and I could do it. What do you mean? They're Kohanim Gadolim too. So Chizkuni says, this is Lachomer that they have a din of a Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Hedyot. On the day that he comes a Kohen, becomes a Kohen, he has the din of a Kohen Gadol Lachumra, that he can't be an Avelus, but not Lakula, that he's allowed to bring Karbanos. So that's an important chilek. But then an explanation of what Aaron was saying, he has a very unique pshat. He says, Batikrena Osika Eila, which means, this kind of thing happened to me, where his two sons died, and if I used to have five eaters, his four sons and him. Now I got two less eaters. So I'm not going to be able to eat all these carbonos, including the carbon of Rosh Chodesh. And therefore it would come to Noser. So he was saying, this happened that he lost his two eaters. I ate the most chattas I could. I'm stuffed. I can't get it. You know, I ate all the chattas as I could. Would it be good in the eyes of Hashem that it should come to Noser? Therefore we burnt it. So that's a different explanation than you normally hear, and that went from Rashi. Okay, next. Then we have the parsha of kash, the kashrus of fish, birds, animals, what the different simanim are. So we have a lot of things with names. We don't all know exactly what they mean, but the Chizkuni goes through many of the names, explaining why different animals were called, what they are called. And as you know, or maybe whatever, as you'll see in the Psukim, the fish do not have any names. There's no names for fish. It just says fins and scales. No name, like this fish, that fish, the other fish, just fins and scales, and that's it. So what's the explanation for that? So the Chizkuni says, because they're mechusim and ayin, people don't see them so much. So I guess they didn't have as much names. So just went with fins and scales. But that's why the Torah doesn't name them, because they're mechusim min ha'ayin. But the birds, we got lots of names for birds. Okay, so we're not going to go through all of them. We'll just go through just a few. The Nesher, which, if you want to look in the Chizkuni, some of these you'll recognize. The words he translates the birds into, sometimes they sound, they're English, basically, or close enough. You can figure out what he means. So Nesher, he writes, eagle blaz. Okay, so we know Nesher is an eagle, right, him? Why is it called a Nesher? This is interesting, because everyone knows about eagle eyes, right? Eagles are able to see very far away. So it's called Nesher from the Ashurenu Velo Karov, which means to see. Right? That's the word Ashurenu is to see. So that's why it's called a Nesher, because of its sight. An Orev. Why is an Orev called an Orev? From the Lashon Erev, darkness, because it's a Orev is a raven. And it's black. So that's why it's called an Orev. Arba, which is locusts. Why is it called Arba? Well, they go in groups, right? Arba is Lashon Ribui, he says, as they go in such masses. Okay, anyway, he's got a bunch of others. You can look there. Some of them are clearer what they are. Some of them are not. Like for Basayana, it says ostrich, blas. It's very clear what it means. Some of them are less clear. Anyway, you can certainly look there and see if, whatever. As far as the end of the, later on in the parsha, we have the Tumah Batara. So a Klicheres, an earthenware Kli, once it gets Tumah, there's nothing you can do about it. You have to break it. It can't become Tahar other than breaking it. And it's not, a Klicheres is not Metami Mibigabo. If Tumah touches the backside of an earthenware Kli, it does not become Tumah. It has to touch the inside. Why is that? So the Chizkuni says, they're Tali Zebezeh. Because a klicheres is very susceptible to tumah, and I shouldn't say it's very susceptible, because a klicheres is so susceptible, meaning that once it gets tumah, it doesn't get out of tumah, so it's a big loss of money. So the Torah gave you that if stuff just happens, you know, because the outside of it, stuff can accidentally touch. So if stuff touches the outside of the kli, that would be a big hefted, because things can always brush up against the kli and it'd be tummy and you'd be out of luck. So the Torah made it that only if it goes inside does it become tummy, because of the chumrah that you have to throw it out. But he does say that the reason why a klicheres is mekabel tumah, we know klicheres and kashrus is also much more chumrah, right? Once klicheres gets a blia of treif, once treif gets sucked into a klicheres, that you can't get it out. I mean, outside of unusual things to do. But the regular hagala, putting it in a pot of boiling water, doesn't work. So klicheres absorbs a lot, and it absorbs tumah too. And it can't get out. Just an interesting connection I don't think I ever thought about. The kashrus and the tumah vatara go together, that it absorbs a lot. That's what he says, it absorbs the tumah, and it can't get out. Anyway, that's why it has this kula, that if it touches the outside, it's still okay. And then food is not mekabel tumah until you put water on it. Why is that? So the Chizkuni explains, his reasoning is that food is not mekabel tumah until you start being mesakin the food, until you start making it ready for eating, and the first thing you do is wash it off or add water. So that's why it's not mekabel tumah until water touches it, because that's tchilas tikuno. That's his explanation of it. That's why water needs to touch water, but food needs to touch water first before it's mekabel tumah. Okay.